We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Showtime! How y'all feel?
You got your popcorn ready.
On three. One, two, three.
This is Wichita's Sports Daily with Bruce Hurdle and Shane Dennis on Sports Radio KFH. 1240 AM, 97.5 FM.
All right, rolling in hour number two. The world of sports lost two pretty big names to respective giants in their professions. Pat Dye, who of course led Auburn, I think onto similar footing as Alabama, won three straight SEC championships at one point, had Bo Jackson and the nation's number one team for a while in the 80s, and certainly changed the configuration of, or the expectations and what we think of when we think of Auburn football, passed away at the age of 80. And then Wes Unseld, in breaking news, as we reported to you, gone way too early at the age of 74 today. So time to remember their contributions.
Without looking, how tall is Wes Unseld?
Like 6'7", wasn't he? 6'6",
unbelievable. 6'7"? He looked every bit of 6'11". But, yeah, he was listed at 6'7", 245.
Yeah, just a big dude.
Had the talk about setting the bar high for yourself, was the Rookie of the Year and the MVP in his first season for the then Baltimore Bullets. He averaged 18.2 rebounds per game his rookie season. And his debut, he had 8 points and 22 rebounds, his very first game in the NBA. And by the way, that 18.2 did not lead the league somehow. But anyway, of his, how many years did he play? 68, 69 to 80, 81. So 13 years, and didn't miss many games, actually. There was only 1 year that he averaged less than 10 rebounds a game, and that was when 1973-74, Wes Unseld averaged 9.2.
Yeah, so, retired at the age of 34, so relatively early. Mm-hmm. Relatively, I guess.
And played 63 games that year, so it wasn't like he just, you know, limped through a season. One time led the league in field goal percentage. Only one time led the league in rebounding, but he was a monster. He averaged 14 rebounds per game in his career at 6'7". As Bruce mentioned earlier, he was a first-round draft pick, second overall in the 1968 NBA draft by the Baltimore Bullets, who obviously later changed their name, which I like the Washington Bullets, but that's neither here nor there. Only Elvin Hayes was picked before him in the draft. He went one. Mm-hmm. Bob Unseld went two. Not a whole lot of other people that you might have heard of in that draft besides Don Chaney. He went 12th overall. But certainly Elvin Hayes and Wes Unseld, the crown jewels of that particular draft. And Unseld announced this morning that he passed at the age of 74. And in case you missed it earlier, he did everything. I mean, there was no accolade that Wes Unseld didn't enjoy, including wading into the coaching and general managing waters.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so he and a Hall of Famer, inducted in 1988. So not necessarily having to take a backseat to anybody, but as you and I agree, he kind of falls into the underrated category. You'll talk a long time about NBA greats and legends probably before you settle on, oh, yeah, remember Wes Unseld? And perhaps, totally unfair because the numbers speak for themselves, and he did everything. He was not just one-dimensional guy.
Yeah, like you talked about earlier, he was finals MVP, NBA champion, five-time All-NBA first team, NBA All-Star. I mean, everything that you can possibly do in the NBA, he did. He's got his number retired, both in college and the NBA.
He coached the Washington Bullets to, frankly, not much success, unfortunately for him. They didn't win much when he was the head coach. 7 years, had a .369 winning percentage. So it just kind of goes to show you that that stuff doesn't necessarily translate. And then he also was an exec from 96 to 2003. So he was a basketball lifer. And that's pretty much how he made his living, and all the way through until, you know, 17 years ago.
Yeah. And people obviously are the old timers amongst us. Are familiar with him from before he was an NBA star, because he led the Missouri Valley Conference in rebounding for three straight years at Louisville. Louisville was then in
The old Louisville
in the Valley.
In the Valley thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know, under Wes Unseld's watch, a young man by the name of Galen Nickerson signed 2 10-day contracts in 1997.
Love me some Skip Nickerson. So Ride Skip, of North High.
Skip made Sports Daily today because he, under the tutelage of Wes Unseld, signed
Skip
a couple
Nickerson
of 10-day
could
contracts.
Skip Nickerson could play, man.
I'll say. Just goes to show you how play. Hard it is to stick.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
869-1240 if you got thoughts. And Skinnerd is with us on the COVID-19 hotline. Hi, Skinnerd.
Skinnerd, how are you, my friend?
Still plugging, Bruce.
Good atta boy. It's all we can all do.
Just want to throw in a nugget or a tidbit about Wes Unseld. I read in Ted Owens' book about being the son of a cotton farmer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know the ins and outs, but his brother, George Unseld, played at KU in the mid-60s.
I didn't know that.
He was a good ball player, but something, I'm not sure what happened, but he didn't come back, or he might have been at school, but he did not play his senior year. But KU was recruiting Wes Unseld hard, and he was pretty much lock, stock, and barrel going to KU until whatever with his brother. So that would have been interesting, because I know he was from Louisville, but him and JoJo White would have played at least a season or two together.
Wow.
Maybe one, because freshmen weren't allowed then. And right. then I thought
sure.
The other interesting thing, Shane, you just said Elvin was number one and Wes number two picks that year. Well, they ended up, Elvin went to the Bullets and they played a couple seasons together. I remember when they played Golden State and didn't quite beat them back in the mid-76, roughly.
Mm-hmm.
I'll leave you with this, Shane. Don't
yes,
ever
sir.
Forget my Marymount Mount Rushmore. Later, boys.
Oh,
you.
Yeah. Thanks, Skinner. Don't be
Thanks,
a stranger. Oh, man.
Long-time listener.
For those that don't know, go ahead
yeah.
and take it away, Bruce. For those that don't know Skinnerd, and we don't necessarily popularize or put in the spotlight our callers very often, but
he goes back a ways, doesn't he? Yeah, and he's been a good fact checker, and he's a guy that that has a good, strong opinion, and I've always enjoyed the back and forth with Skinnerd. I will say that, and he's got a very dry sense of humor, which I always appreciated.
I don't remember the last time I heard Skinnerd on Wichita Airways, but I'm glad we heard him here on
Skinner
June
was
two.
I think are Bob and Jeff still doing the World Series of Face-Off?
I don't know where that stands, but I would imagine we're getting it about at that time where they need to make a decision if they're going
something
to
something like that. I
remember Skinner
being
real, the World Series of Face-Off.
He was a mainstay and very, very good. No. Let me just say this: knew enough about his sports to check the host on numerous occasions,
and was never
had a problem doing it. So that was good.
Perfectly fine by these two guys.
Absolutely.
All right, thanks for the call, Skinner. Thanks for listening. Most importantly. And finally, Pat Dye, at the age of 80, we reported, a week ago? Maybe longer than that, that he was hospitalized, the former, most famously, Auburn football coach in Atlanta for kidney-related problems. He was also diagnosed with COVID-19, but as I recall, wasn't he not showing any symptoms, Bruce? Do you remember that convo that we had?
I believe that is correct.
We didn't want to muddle anything and say, well, Pat Dye's got COVID. I mean, he did, but he was hospitalized for a different reason. Anyway, he died yesterday at the age of 80.
In Auburn, Alabama.
That's right. Yeah.
Yep, at Auburn.
I did not know he started at ECU and actually stopped in Wyoming for 1 year.
Actually, the ECU, he was actually... Well, he was a Bear Bryant guy as an assistant.
Yeah, his linebacker's coach. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right, at Alabama. And so his roots go back. Now, he played at Georgia, so he was an SEC guy, and then coached at Alabama for 5-6 years. I don't remember exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Before he took over at ECU, and that is where he really made his way. I think they were in the Southern Conference back then.
Yeah, he won a lot of games there, too.
And he won a lot of games, and he won championships. It ended up getting him the job at Wyoming for just 1 year. And then, boom, he took the job at Auburn after 1 year. And I think he was middle of the road at Wyoming, but Wyoming had been horrible up until the point that he got there. And so he kind of stemmed that tide. And then ended up going to Auburn and ended up being not only the head coach but the athletic director for many years at Auburn University. So, and I think it was Pat Dye that there's a great story about Pat Dye during the interview process. He was asked how long it would take him to beat Alabama as the head coach at Auburn, and he said 60 minutes because, of course, that's the duration of a football game, which I always thought was just the best darned answer to a question. Pat
Dye. I don't know the history of the Iron Bowl, which is Auburn versus Alabama every year. But when Pat Dye got there, he brought plenty of Iron Bowl hardware back to Auburn. He was a damn good football coach, and of course most famously coached Bo Jackson, also Tracy Rocker, remember that name?
Oh yeah, Tracy Rocker. He
won the
Outland
Trophy,
player.
Lombardi Award in 1988.
Sure.
And I want to say, was it the 83 season? Yeah, they were ranked number one, and of course this is back when we just had a vote, which looking back now, how dumb was that? But they were number one at the end of the season in 83, but got jumped by Miami and Nebraska. And I think Miami was the national champion. Auburn was 11-1 and won the Sugar Bowl.
They lost to Texas that year, I think.
They won the Sugar Bowl, so they won their last game, but they stayed at number three and got jumped by Miami. Was that the year that Miami beat Nebraska 31-30? Was that the Jeff Smith game?
Oh God, Shane! Now you're
seems like it, right?
Might be.
Right? Go with me.
Yeah, it might be. Yeah.
Don't fact check. Just go with me. I think that's
83 or 84. One of the two. I can't.
Yeah.
Remember.
Well. Anyway. Point being, Auburn won a crap ton of games under Pat Dye, and they have, I think they've named the field after him.
Yep, they have.
Jordan Harris.
They've done
Stadium,
a really good job. That's a beautiful place. Have you ever been to a game there?
I was just going to tell you, I don't know how high on my bucket list it would be, but go to an SEC football game is certainly way up there. And Auburn wouldn't be a bad place to go, sure.
Yeah, I've been fortunate over the course of time to go to a lot of games in great places. Auburn is one of the really great places to watch a college football game. There is a totally different vibe and feel when you go to a game in the SEC.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about it, it's better than this, it's better than that. It's different. It's different. You have the co-eds are dressed to the nines. The tailgating is an art form that is that has a very genteel feel to it. You go to some places and you know it's kind of a frantic, wild party. Music blaring from the brats right. being thrown. I mean, which is fun, which is right. great in and of its own right. I'm merely saying that it's a different kind of time-honored tradition in the South, and it makes it different. Not saying it's better, it's just different. And Auburn is one of those places. It's a huge stadium, Jordan Stadium, Jordan Adair Stadium, but Shug Jordan was a former coach there, an AD at Auburn, and it's a fabulous, fabulous place to go watch college football. I really, really like it.
Have you ever been to Tiger Stadium in Baton Rouge?
Yes, yes, I've been there. In fact,
that might be where I'd start.
I did a night game. Did a night game there. Did a night game there way back when, in Wichita State was down there playing against LSU, and it was. Everything that you could imagine. It was a night game. The air was so thick you could have cut it. It was so humid, and it was a hellhole to play in. I mean,
it still is.
Not a cesspool. That's a hard place to win a football game.
Death Valley at night. They still talk about. Oof, that.
It is really something. No, I've seen. Three or four of the best places I've seen college football. Texas A&M now is an SEC. Of course, they were in the Southwest Conference and in between the Big 12. That's one of the best places that you can watch college football. Auburn is very, very good. Alabama is outstanding, really, really cool. Arkansas is a really good place to watch college football.
You know what? I have seen a football game in an SEC stadium. Except for Arkansas, I was in the Southwest Conference when I saw it.
Yeah.
So I guess that kind of counts, but not.
Yeah, it's fun.
I've been to Arkansas.
I haven't been to Georgia. I've seen a game at Mississippi. Haven't seen a game at Mississippi State. Haven't seen a game at Vanderbilt and don't feel like I'm missing anything there.
Yeah, Vanderbilt or Kentucky, you probably
or Kentucky.
Maybe scratch off the list.
Right. Haven't seen a game at Kentucky.
All due respect,
but I've seen a game at the Swamp. Ooh. That's different.
That's different.
That's a little less SEC like.
I wouldn't mind that either. Going to the Swamp and
pretty
Florida.
Pretty fun.
Yep.
Pretty fun. So anyway, we digress.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So.
But
Pat
rest
Dye.
In peace.
Yep.
Rest in peace, Pat Dye, and. He was certainly a guy that made his way in the game of college football. Football Hall of Famer, and then Wes Unseld also losing Wes Unseld today. So two big ones going today within, a few days of each other. So
yep, no doubt. All right, it seems like kind of maybe sort of getting closer to an agreement between the players and the owners and Major League Baseball. Give you the very latest on what the the proposals have been. We've gone from 114 to 50.
I mean, it is just crazy to figure these two sides out.
Let me help you out here. What's 114 plus 50? 164. What's 164 divided by 2? 82. We're going to land on 82, which is where we started from the beginning, with just some used car salesman tactics going back and forth. I'll talk to my people. They'll talk to your people. And they're going to get a prorated salary. They're going to get some deferred money. And I bet we're going to land right about 80 games. 50 seems like too many, but we can Or not too few, rather.
Too few. I agree. It sure does. It sure does. But at least they put the prorated salaries back on the table, which I was happy to see that. So
getting closer. We'll get to the details when we come back. 869-1240 is the hotline. What's on tap is brought to you by Side Pockets at the corner of Kellogg and Tyler. 22 minutes from now, got On This Day in Sports History brought to you by Superior Rents. It's Shane and it's Bruce and it's Jad on a Tuesday on your station for sports, KFH.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.